is a really huge stretch for me out of my comfort zone, like really huge. I chose this challenge for two reasons. One, for my own self-growth, and the other because I'm your board president and I think you should know me better. I feel that responsibility. I also want to say that it's only because of Unity, this community, that I was even able to consider doing a talk like this. As Roger could attest, it took me months to actually commit to doing this. And it's nothing I would have ever considered doing before, finding my voice, basically, here at Unity. So thank you to everyone in this community for being loving and encouraging and making it possible for me to feel that I have something to share, helping me to wake up to realize that. So my talk is about some of the things that I'm working on. I need to raise this. There we go. So it's also what I need to hear. My theme is about how to pray and how to use the prayer process to shine our light in the world. So growing up, one of the problems I always had with organized religion was the idea of bowing down to a god out there somewhere. That always felt like an archaic, superstitious tradition to me. And then the idea that there is a God out there who can take care of us if we ask or if we're good enough never jived for me either. That couldn't be true with all the suffering in the world. I grew up going to a Methodist church, but then I totally rejected organized religion of any kind. However, I was always searching for a deeper meaning in my life. Then as a young adult, I switched gears and became a socialist. And the Marxist idea that religion was the opiate of the masses made a lot of sense to me. I could see how praying to some being out there to fix things instead of being active in the world was a way to keep people asleep. So I learned to become militant, to fight against war, against pro-lifers, against nuclear energy, and against capitalism. Yes. The fight was focused on the enemy and on separateness. It was ego-driven and negative. Then marriage and two kids happened to me. I moved from Cincinnati, Ohio, to Albany. This was back in 87, I think. And in the process of having kids, I became aware of the need to become healthy in ways that I never had before. I started working several 12-step programs, and I continued to do that for over 30 years. I still resisted the concept of God. I used the term higher power, and I used the recovery groups as my higher power at first. I was always looking for something outside of myself. When I came to Unity, I had softened enough to the concept of God that I could accept that there is some kind of higher power, a spirit that flows through everything and everyone. And Unity always felt open, loving, and accepting of me, no matter what my beliefs were. As I've continued to learn and grow spiritually in Unity, I've learned the concept that God is oneness. This really makes sense to me. God is within us all, not a being, but the essence of all that is. God is the divine nature and power within us all. Or as Eric Butterworth puts it, God is in us as the ocean is in a wave. The wave is nothing more nor less than the ocean expressing as a wave. There is no one out there to pray to, only a universal flow to get into, a spiritual energy to pray from. And we can choose to access that divine energy and power simply by getting quiet and opening to it and connecting with it. I don't know about you, but I've always struggled to make that happen, getting quiet and connecting. I know that the books and songs that are most meaningful to me are all about spiritual connection. I feel that what I want most is to go to the mountaintop and to feel the oneness with spirit. Yet I've always resisted it. I've had difficulty consistently making time for it. And I've come to realize that at least part of this is that I learned to be a human doing, not a human being. I've been learning more about affirmative prayer from Linda Martella Whitsett's book, How to Pray Without Talking to God. The concept of affirmative prayer really speaks to me, and it describes what I think I've always believed, but I didn't consciously know. As she says in the book, those of us who feel constrained by time usually also have internalized messages about our worth in relation to our accomplishments. We believe that if we do enough, we will be enough. That's me. I've always had the strongly held belief that I need to be doing good in the world, and the more the better. But maybe the most useful thing I could be doing to make the world a better place starts with sitting still and connecting with spirit. So my lesson now is to unlearn the idea that I need to always be doing and to learn to just be. I know that this is what I long for and that everything else stems from this connection. Linda Martella Whitsett also says, we only resist what we most desire when we feel incapable of living up to the spiritual demand of our high calling. Persistence in prayer is our best chance to become equipped for being the light of the world. Her denial and affirmation for this are the following. I deny the power I have given to time to limit what's possible for me to accomplish. I affirm that I am limitless divine order, suspending time as I wholeheartedly do all that is mine to do. She also says our true nature is divine. Our human identities and circumstances are changeable. Our personalities are like a mask that conceals the true spiritual I am. We consciously construct an external identity, but we can choose to live from our divine identity simply by claiming it and realizing it. The divine is the invisible good we can choose to make visible. Prayer is about being empowered by our divine capacity. When we view ourselves as only human, we pray to God from a consciousness of powerlessness. But when we realize our divine identity, we pray from divine consciousness, and we claim and assert our divine identity so that we can live more fully from it. In this way, we are the answer to our prayers. As we realize that prayer is not a plea for a particular outcome, but a calling upon ourselves to realize what we are to be in a circumstance. We are active co-creators with our divine wholeness. If I am one with God, and God is love, then I am love. So I claim divine love as my true nature. Wherever I am, God is an ever-flowing current of oneness with all. To quote Reverend Jackie Hawkins, we can cultivate this and use it in the world. If world leaders use their spiritual power and consciousness, we wouldn't have wars and inequality. Patricia Pierce speaks of the concept of sacred or transcendent activism, which comes from the spiritual understanding that we are all one. No one is the enemy, and the energy of resistance is ego-driven. It fuels separateness. It's time to transform the story of separateness and let go of judgment, both of self and of the other. When we transform our insides, we show up differently in the world. So when we go out into the world to make change, we focus on what we're for, not what we're against. Activism in the world begins with love and oneness. We are all connected. Everything has to come from this. This is how we become the light of the world. Our purpose here on earth is to be awake and to be love. The universe needs us all to wake up to this now. We are all one, and there is only love. Here is Linda Martella-Witsetz's recommended format for daily prayer. Relax so you can concentrate. Concentrate so you can meditate. Meditate so you can realize. Realize so you can appreciate. Appreciate so you can relax.
Say it again.
Okay. Relax so you can concentrate. Concentrate so you can meditate. Meditate so you can realize. Realize so you can appreciate. Appreciate so you can relax. As we learn to be still and meditate, there is a gradual spiritual consciousness taking place, even if we don't feel it at first. We are building spiritual muscle. So let's practice building our spiritual muscle. Not quite done yet. But we're leading into a meditation here.
So Ananda is the ocean. I am one with thee. Once a tiny lake, now a mighty sea. O Ananda, I am one with thee. And Ananda is just the Sanskrit word for bliss. One, that oneness with the divine. Goes like this.
Ananda is the ocean. Ananda is the ocean. I am one with thee.
Once a tiny lake.
Once a tiny lake. Now a mighty sea. Oh, Ananda, I am one with thee.
Other names for the divine, we'll sing joy.
Joy is the ocean. Joy is the ocean. I am one with thee.
Once a tiny lake.
Once a tiny lake. Now a mighty.
So let's take a few moments. Get our bodies in a comfortable position. Close our eyes. Take a deep breath. Listen to the sounds of nature around us. Using all of your senses. Feel the breeze in the air. Hear the birds sing. Smell the scents of nature. Just like the waves in the ocean, we are one with everything we see, feel, and hear. The birds, the breeze, the trees. Everything is part of our experience of oneness. If your mind wanders, just bring it back and breathe. Let yourself smile inside and appreciate this moment. When you're ready, wiggle your fingers, toes, whatever you need to do to bring you back to the present moment. Open your eyes, take a deep breath, smile. So I'm going to end my talk and meditation with a prayer from the book, How to Pray Without Talking to God. I look to the beauty of all that is around me and all that is within me and all that I am. Everywhere I look, I behold wondrous divine order. I know the sun rises every morning, even when I cannot see it for the clouds that cover its shining. I too am divine order. The light I am is always shining, even when clouded thinking obscures my view. I shine brightly today, joyfully observing divine order in everything and everyone. Amen. So it is.
Amen.